You're listening to an Ask Anything research briefing from askanything-app.com. A fusion plasma can fail because it is too dense. But in the East Tokamak, researchers recently pushed a line average density to 1.65 times the Greenwald value. The interesting part is not simply the number. It is how they changed the relationship between the plasma and the tungsten wall. Here is the short version. They used electron cyclotron resonance heating during ohmic startup, together with a relatively large amount of neutral gas already present before the discharge. This created a more forgiving breakdown path. It reduced the damaging early interaction with the wall and helped the plasma enter its current plateau in a cleaner state. Later, as more gas raised the density, the diverter target stayed cooler. Because the target was tungsten, that cooling switched down the dominant physical sputtering process. Less tungsten entered the plasma. Effective charge and total radiation fell. The usual positive feedback toward a radiative collapse was delayed to a much higher density. The Greenwald value is an empirical normalization. It scales plasma density with plasma current divided by cross-sectional area. It is extremely useful, but it is not a universal wall written into the laws of physics. Different density measurements, shapes, edge conditions, heating regimes, and failure mechanisms all matter. In the East study, the headline value is a central chord line average. The reconstructed density at the separatrix stayed below 0.75 times the Greenwald value. The experiment used lower single-null plasmas at about 250 kiloamps and 2.5 tesla. East has full metal walls and tungsten diverters. The team studied two main sets of discharges. In one, electron cyclotron power stayed near 600 kilowatts while the deuterium prefill increased. In the other, the prefill stayed at its lowest value while electron cyclotron power changed from 0 to 600 kilowatts. The prefill scan gave the clearest improvement. The published shot table reports maximum line average densities from 4.8 to 5.6 times 10 to the 19th per cubic meter. The reported Greenwald fractions ranged from 1.3 to 1.65. Increasing electron cyclotron power alone, at the lowest prefill, produced only a small increment. The authors interpret this as a particle supply constraint. Heating could assist the startup, but it could not replace neutral particles that were never there. One reference shot began electron cyclotron heating with the ohmic startup and kept it on for 4.5 seconds. Gas feedback then continued to raise density during the current plateau. The plasma approached roughly 1.5 times the Greenwald value. It then lost density and terminated. The paper reports no preceding manifestation in the monitored magnetohydrodynamic activity. That detail matters. The experiment did not create an indefinitely stable plasma. It raised the density at which collapse occurred. The phrase density-free regime comes from a model, not from a claim that density can rise forever. The model is called plasma wall self-organization. It treats impurity radiation as part of a delayed feedback loop. Power that is not radiated reaches the wall. That power can sputter wall atoms. Some of those atoms reach the confined plasma and radiate during the next cycle. If the loop gain rises above 1, the fixed point becomes unstable and a radiative collapse can follow. The special feature of tungsten is a physical sputtering threshold. When particles strike the tungsten target with enough energy, they knock tungsten atoms free. But when the target plasma becomes sufficiently cool, Incident energy falls below the effective threshold and the yield drops steeply. The impurity source can then switch down. This creates two possible branches in the model. On the warmer branch, sputtering remains active and there is a finite radiative density limit. On the cooler branch, physical sputtering is suppressed. The predicted density threshold moves to a very high value. The model calls that second branch density freedom. Carbon behaves differently because chemical sputtering can persist at low energy. Earlier experiments on the carbon-dominated JTEX tokamak showed that more prefill or electron cyclotron heating could reduce impurity radiation and raise the density limit. But those discharges remained on the model's finite limit branch. East's tungsten components supplied the sharper threshold needed to reach the cool branch. The East measurements line up with that interpretation. Shots with higher density limits had lower diverter target electron temperature, lower effective charge, and lower total radiation. Both the zero-dimensional and one-dimensional versions of the model placed the measurements in the cool basin. There is also a revealing complication. Shots with nominally identical prefill and electron cyclotron power did not reach the same density. Later shots could perform better. The target temperature and effective charge decreased with discharge number while the maximum density increased. The authors attribute this to evolving wall conditions. So the practical control variable is not merely a command such as 600 kilowatts and a particular gas voltage. The wall has memory. A useful future controller would need to infer the wall state from target temperature, recycling, tungsten influx, radiation location, and effective charge. How strong is the evidence? The observation is strong within this particular East scenario. Exact shot identifiers, operating inputs, diagnostics, and maximum densities are reported. The mechanism is supported at a moderate level. Multiple measurements move in the predicted direction, and the comparison with the carbon wall experiment is informative. But this was a small, history-dependent series. It did not independently randomize or isolate prefill, electron cyclotron heating, lithiation, and wall conditioning. The extrapolation to a burning reactor is still limited. These were low-current ohmic or electron cyclotron-assisted startup plasmas, not deuterium-tritium high-confinement plasmas. The study did not demonstrate a longer dwell at 1.65 times the Greenwald value, improved fusion gain, or compatibility with alpha heating. Tungsten also remains dangerous when it does sputter, because even a small high atomic number concentration can radiate strongly. Other experiments have crossed the Greenwald normalization by different routes. DIAID has combined density above the conventional expectation with high confinement. The Madison symmetric torus has reported much larger Greenwald fractions in a very different low field, low aspect ratio regime. These comparisons reinforce a key point. A Greenwald fraction alone is not a complete similarity parameter, and those experiments are not replications of the East mechanism. The next decisive East study would deliberately vary prefill, electron cyclotron waveform, wall conditioning, and shot order. It would measure absolute tungsten influx and radiated power, test whether crossing the physical sputtering threshold reversibly changes the feedback branch, and report how long the plasma remains above the Greenwald value. Most importantly, it would test whether the startup path remains compatible with detached, high-confinement operation. The bottom line is precise. East did not overpower a universal density ceiling. Researchers steered the discharge into a different plasma wall feedback state. Electron cyclotron assisted startup and a larger neutral inventory produced a cleaner trajectory. A cool tungsten target suppressed physical sputtering. Lower impurity radiation prevented the usual runaway long enough to reach a line average density of 1.65 times the Greenwald value. That is a promising piece of boundary physics. It is not yet an integrated reactor solution. For exact shot data, equations, limitations, and the complete evidence trail, see the companion report and its final sources table.